The side effects and toxicity profiles of cetuximab and bevacizumab become a lot more important in the adjuvant setting where some of these people are actually already cured. Can you sort of update us on what we know about short and long-term complications and how you think this is going to play out in the adjuvant setting?
It was very interesting a couple of years ago when we had data on cetuximab second line or third line, and we had data on bevacizumab first line, was that in the community, in practice, more patients were getting bevacizumab second and third line therapy than cetuximab without any data at that point. Now, since that time, there's been the ECOG 3200 that shows second line bevacizumab is also effective. But that really, I think, sent a very strong message to me. And that was that individuals are very concerned about side effects that label them or brand them as a cancer patient, whether it be hair loss or whether it be skin rash. If you're sitting in a doctor's waiting room, you could have a very good wig and people wouldn't know you're bald, but you could have a skin rash from an EGFR receptor monoclonal antibody that is very difficult to hide. And that the side effects with bevacizumab, although they are just as severe, or maybe more severe, aren't as apparent, aren't as obvious. You have an increased risk of these arterial thrombotic events, heart attack, stroke, peripheral arterial embolus, that in some cases are lethal. But short of that, there isn't an obvious side effect. You have hypertension with bevacizumab that's readily managed. You could have proteinuria, which is monitored and managed as well. But again, those things aren't apparent. So I think when it comes to the adjuvant setting, it may be more difficult to actually conduct and complete the trial with EGFR receptor monoclonal antibodies than it will be with the angiogenesis inhibitor.